when I was a slave of sin and a slave of the world. Now that I'm a slave of Christ, look at his benefits. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, remember, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and thank you for joining us. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, "To the Lord and not to man," from his continuing study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. Now, Pastor Bill.
We worked and worked and worked and finally got all of that done. And I was down there trying to hook up, finish the lighting, touch up, you know, the wiring and all that, just making sure everything was secure. And the owner of that home leaned over and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm just doing final touches, sir, you know, da-da-da-da-da." He said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "I've never seen anyone work so hard, and I'm not doing this, okay? I've never seen anyone work so hard. I mean, you were here for sometimes 12, 14, 16 hours a day to get this built for me." And he said, "I said, I want to thank you." And I said, "Well, thank you. God is good. That's what I always say. God is good. But see, I was working for the Lord. I wasn't working for him." Okay. And he said, "I just want to let you know that I know you and your family. I just purchased 2 first-class airline tickets for all 3 of you, round trip to Disneyland, Disney World. Put you in the Floridian for a week. Hello. Sylvester Stallone was there." He was. And he said, "And I'm going to give you, I think, $1,000 for spending money." And he says, "Everything's paid on me." Yes. I could use that right now. We walk into the room. This is the truth. And here's Thomas. He's just like that. We walk into the room. We're in the happiest place on earth. And we're at the Floridian, which is a five-star unbelievable. And so the owner of that home that I did that tennis court for, it was Christmas, okay? And in our room was a gigantic Christmas tree with all the Disney ornaments, like Mickey Mouse and, you understand, that we could take home. It was, isn't that beautiful? But now here's the deal. When I did that, as the Lord knows, it was for him. See, we work for him. And look how God rewards. Do you understand? See, we don't know all the things God would do if you just do things his way. Amen? And it doesn't mean always it's going to be something like Disney World, you know? It may be a free coupon to Chick-fil-A or something. I don't know. You know, but the thing is, that's what it's about. It's not about your employer. It's about your Savior. Because we don't work for men. We work for our Lord. And you know what God says about when you do your work? He makes you a promise. He says in Hebrews 6:10, he says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love," here comes, "which you have shown toward his name." Isn't that amazing? God won't forget your things that you've done for him, but he will forget your sin forever and ever and ever. God is so good. Now, with all that being said, look now, let's go to the master, the Christian employer, verse 9. "And you masters, do the same thing to whom?" The slaves, your employees. "And give up threatening." In other words, you're a born-again believer now, you're an owner of a company. You better be walking in love, is what he's saying. "Knowing that your own master," meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, "is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him." In other words, God says, "I don't have any favorites. The slave, the free, the black, the white, the Jew, the Gentile, the male, the female, the Scythian. It doesn't matter who you are. God is not partial. He loves everyone equally." Amen? Now, so the employer, a Christian employer, is to do the same thing. You want to love them. You want to treat them right. They're your brothers and your sisters. And that's what is happening. You know, if Christian employers, if they would treat their employees as if they would treat Jesus, there would be a big change. You know, I've had the opportunity to know owners of several Christian companies and how these people are sold out to Jesus Christ. I mean, they're sold out. They love the Lord. And I've known one of them for 35 years, dear friend of mine. I remember during the recession, remember 2008 and 9 when everything just went under? Okay. Well, I think his workforce was about 50 people in his company. And, everybody, there was no work for nearly a year. Do you know what he did? He paid their salaries out of his own personal pocket for 1 year. He kept them on. He didn't let their children do without. He didn't let their wives do without. He did not let them do without. He told me, he came in, we counseled and we prayed together. He said, Bill, some of them, they've been with me for 30 years. He said, some of them started out as kids and now you see what I'm getting at. And now, that's what you call a Christian employer. He had the means to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he trusted that scripture and he believed that scripture. I've seen Christian other companies, one in particular, very wealthy and well-to-do, but loves the Lord. She was a lady, loved her with all of their heart. And I'll never forget how all the people that worked for her on different estates, when they retired, she paid their salaries until the day they died. Every one of them. It was like a goal for her. She felt horrible if they didn't get paid that week. And I mean, some of them lived 20 years after they retired. She kept paying them, everyone, until the day they passed. Now, that's what it means here about loving them, respecting them, not doing it because of man, but doing it for the Lord. You see, God says, I'm not partial. God doesn't care if a Christian employer is rich. He doesn't care what kind of big home you live in or a little home. That doesn't impress God. See, all of us, are going to give an account unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All of us, we're going to stand before the Lord there at the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards. We're going to give an account of everything we have done, whether it be good or bad. Amen? Oh, listen. No. Now, with all that being said, we need to ask ourselves a question as we make another quick application here. Are we really slaves of Jesus? Are we really a bondservant? Can we honestly say, let's examine our hearts, and can we honestly say, listen, a bondservant is a slave, and I am a slave of the Lord, which means this, Lord, my will now is no longer my will. My will is swallowed up in your will. Whatever you want, since I am now a bondservant of Christ, I want to do for you. Now, let's make a quick application, return to verse 5, and let's look at a few things this morning. Bondservants, verse 5, bondservants, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity or singleness of heart as to Christ. Now we serve a bondservant. We serve the Lord how? We put our whole heart into it now. He owns us, okay? And why do we serve the Lord with fear and trembling? See, we don't fear man. We don't tremble before men. We don't, our boss, we don't start falling apart and all that. No, but we fear and tremble before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 2:12, he tells us why. He says, work out, not work for, work out your own salvation, okay? Now, again, work it out, don't work for. Of the Philippians, when Paul penned that, they were already saved. So he says, work out. That word means to bring to its ultimate conclusion your salvation. Bring it all the way out. And the ultimate conclusion of your salvation is Christ-likeness, where you are being changed or transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory to glory. Amen? So he says, work out, not work for, your own salvation. And then he tells us how. In what? In fear and in trembling. Now, why would we do that? I mean, the Lord loves us. He died for us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, the Bible says. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and he tells us why. For it is God who is working in you. Think about that. God is working in you right now to do something. It says both to will and to do for His good pleasure. His good pleasure, not ours. And then he says this in verse 14 of that text, do all things without murmuring or complaining and disputing. Now, he's not talking about murmuring and complaining and arguing with your brothers and sisters. He's talking about, why would you argue with God? Why would you murmur toward God? In other words, concerning anything to do with your salvation. Does that make sense? You see, you want to stop your progress, and I know you don't. You want to stop progress in your Christian walk? Start complaining to God. That's what kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. They were a bunch of murmurers, man, complainers. We don't want to complain to God at all. No, listen, watch this. Not eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Watch this now. Doing the will of God. That's something we do. Doing the will of God, not from our minds, not because of fear, not because we're trying to earn His love or any of those things. Doing the will of God from our hearts. What a great word, Paul. What a great word. As to the Lord, not to men, loved one. See, doing the will of God from the heart. You want to know, here's the will of God. You ready for this? Jesus, he told his disciples one day, he said, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over into the hands of sinful men. They are going to kill me. I'm going to die. And then after he told them that, it says in Luke 9:23, and Jesus said unto them, and he says to us as well. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man, if anyone desires to come after me, if you're going to come with me now, if you're going to travel with me through this life, if you really love me, if you desire to come after me, here are the conditions that's going to have to happen. He says, let him deny himself. What a word. That's what a bondservant does. Not about me anymore. Amen? You know, the word deny there in the Greek literally means to say, to disown oneself. It means literally to say goodbye to Bill. It's no longer me. It's about Jesus. Amen? To deny himself. That means if you deny yourself, it means that what you want in this life, it means your priorities that you have planned and you've made that list and you've got them all down, it means that Jesus now has the right to change them, for we are his bond servant. If anyone desires to come after me, let him completely deny himself. It's no longer about you, Bill. It's only about Jesus. Let him deny himself. And then there's the command, and take up his cross daily. And then those incredible words, follow me, follow me. In other words, it's not your road anymore. It's my road, Jesus says, and it's the narrow road. It's the narrow way that leads unto life. You have to come with me now. If I own you, you have to come with me. That is the will of God for a Christian. And let me tell you something. When you start following the Lord, you know, don't start thinking it's all going to be, oh, this is going to be so bad and this. Listen, like I've always said, it's an adventure. You may end up walking on water like Peter. You may end up laying hands on the sick and they recover. Amen? You may be sent all over the world and lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ. See, you don't know. But boy, when you follow him, it is always an adventure. No wonder Paul the apostle, remember what he said in Galatians 2:20? In one version, it says, he says, I no longer have a separate existence from Christ. That's one version. But you know the version, the King James or whatever, when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer me, Paul says. It's only Jesus. And that's what that means. And see, the issue is this. Don't we want to be like the Lord? Isn't Jesus our perfect example? Okay, if he is, then we need to be obedient to Philippians chapter 2, 5 and following, where Paul says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. That same attitude, okay? He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's a command, by the way. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What in the world does that mean? Well, Jesus is God. Amen? So that was a pre-Bethlehem, if you will. Jesus has always been. He has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has always been. So that's pre-Bethlehem. He says, oh, being in the form of God, it says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? Robbery means that Jesus didn't say it was a treasure. Oh, I can't leave heaven. I have to cling to heaven. The angels, and he didn't cling to that. He didn't think of himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. He thought of the world to die for. Amen? He says, no. He says, I didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. And here it comes. But made himself of no reputation. And listen to how he did it. Taking the form of a bond servant. There's that word. Is Jesus your example? He's my example. What does the word bondservant mean? It's the same word that where it's no longer my will. Jesus said, it's no longer my will, Father, it's your will. Amen? It's no longer my will, Jesus, it's your will. It says taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He came in the likeness of man, God wrapped in human flesh, but without sin. And we know that he was obedient to the death of the cross for you and me. Now listen. That word bondservant means that Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, I mean, there is Jesus wrapped in human flesh. Amen? He's God. His finger is what created the worlds, or the Word. He just spoke. He took the lowest place on the rung of humanity. The lowest place. He became the slave of God for you and for me. How can we not be bondservants of Christ? Amen? Yeah, he is our perfect example. When Jesus was in the upper room hours before his crucifixion, when he was loving his disciples and he was washing their feet, remember what he said? He says, I have given you an example that you would do this to one another, not wash each other's feet. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was giving himself an object lesson. He said this, most assuredly, I say to you, here's the lesson, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Think about that. Are we greater than Jesus? Huh? No. Well, if Jesus washed disciples' feet, shouldn't we do the same thing? We're not talking about washing feet. That's not a doctrine. No, he's giving us an example. What is he saying? He's saying here, the church, us, why don't we return to where we are, the place that God called us to be? Man, listen, you know, to call Jesus our Lord, Kyrios, owner, master, and then not do what he wants us to do, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I ask you to do? Jesus said, I have given you an example. I want you to follow this example. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, meaning Jesus, we ought to walk as he walked. We do so by grace. We do so by the power of the Holy Spirit, loved one. And then here's what Jesus did. He said to the disciples, he's saying to us as well, if you know these things, the things that Jesus just taught them, if you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. Did you notice that Jesus in that verse didn't say, happiness is knowing them? See, we can know the Word of God. Amen? But happiness is doing the Word of God, being obedient. Yeah, this world that we live in lies about happiness. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't have happiness apart from the living God. You know, all the things that are out there today, you violate God's laws and you're not going to find peace, believe me. You're not going to find happiness. Jesus told the disciples when they were arguing, remember, who's going to be the greatest when we get into heaven? Jesus looked at them and said in Matthew 23:11, he who wants to be the greatest among you, here it comes, be your servant. There you want to be great, there it is. In Matthew 20:26, they were arguing there. It said, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, Jesus said, let him be your slave. What a word. To be a slave of Christ. Did you know a slave is the personal property of another, right? Okay, if we are slaves of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it tells us that for you, we're bought at a price. We know the price, the precious blood of Jesus. We're purchased. We were taken off the auction block of the world, amen? We no longer belong to death, we no longer belong to Satan, and no longer are we slaves of sin, amen? We're now slaves of righteousness. Think about that. Man, we're bought, we're paid for, and our master will never harm us. He will never hurt us. He will never mistreat us, and he will never sell us again. And no man will ever be able to snatch us out of his hand. That's what I call a great purchase in Jesus' name. Amen? No, I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. It was Adam that messed everything up. He wanted freedom and independence from God, and he caused the whole world and every generation to become slaves to thousands and different kinds of masters, slaves of sin, slaves of self, slaves of sex, slaves of this. Oh, man, no. Listen, there's only one freedom available to man. Isn't that amazing? There's only one freedom available to man, and it's only one man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, when I think about being his slave, listen to me, I have never had benefits when I was a slave of sin and a slave of the world. Now that I'm a slave of Christ, look at his benefits. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, remember, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, present reality, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are blessed. You can't get any more blessed. Do you understand? You have every spiritual blessing. Not only that, I'm a slave of Christ, and guess what my owner has done? I'm going to be a co-heir. I know. Hello. Everything that God the Father gives Jesus the Son, Jesus is going to give it to us. Do you understand? Not only that, I have eternal life, everlasting life. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, man, I'm going to have a new body. New face, new everything. No more hair falling out like Mario's and all that. No, I'm joking, Mario. I'm joking. You're on the front row. No, do you understand? See, the more people starts coming back, the more humor you give me. I get happy. Oh, listen, guys, you that are listening live, do you want freedom? Become a slave of Christ. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Ask him to come and live in your heart. And if you don't, you're going to be a slave to sin. You're going to be a slave to the devil for all eternity. Listen, right this moment, you can just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Oh, please, Jesus, just come and live in my heart right now. Buy me, purchase me, forgive me. Just ask him, and he will save you. And that goes for anyone in this chapel. If you don't know Christ, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come live in my heart right now. Oh, God, save me in Jesus' name. And he will. He'll do that. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, and you prayed that prayer, I want you to email me at info@loveneverfails.com. I have a booklet called Welcome to the Family of God. If you'll send me your name address, it'll be mailed out first thing tomorrow morning. And if you accepted Christ right now like the others did in the early service, you know what? I have a booklet here I want to give you as well. Listen, we are free. We are under God's divine, unmerited, unearned, perfect grace forever and ever and ever. Romans chapter 5 teaches that you stand in the grace of God 24/7. You can't get out of the grace of God. Amen? Know who you are. Believe who you are. And when you leave here today, loved one, listen to me now. You go to wherever you work. And when you work, no matter what you're facing, you just say to yourself, well, Lord, I don't like what's happening, but I don't work for men. I work for Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say, amen.
Well, it's been a good week of Bible study, and we want to thank you for listening with us. Pastor's study will continue on our Monday broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Have a great weekend, everyone, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.